Can you please tell me about the Restrict Bill 686, cleverly disguised as the TikTok bill?
The Restrict Act, S-686, would allow the government to access all of the data on your video devices if it is a service that uses over 1 million people. This includes services like Ring doorbell / in-home security cameras and so much more.
Why would the government need to see what's going on in our homes? It's a serious thing, you guys. This bill that's being passed is not about TikTok. It's not even about taking away our freedom of speech or, oh, now I'm not going to make money on a platform anymore. No, it's so much more than that. It's like the Patriot Act. They use 9/11 to make us fearful, and then they pass something under the guise of for our health and safety, as they always do. And this is the most dangerous bill yet. And you're going to need to share this because this is huge. And if we don't stand up, this is not about freedom of speech anymore. This is about losing our sense of privacy, which none of us really have anymore anyway. It goes beyond that because it's giving them the potential, without due cause, they can make up a reason why they think you might be a threat, and boom, you go to jail, based off of your doorbell ringer. You got a smart home? You better get rid of that, because you know what smart means, and it doesn't mean intelligent.
Restrict Act, Senate Bill 686, proposes jail time for using a VPN to access certain websites or apps operated by foreign adversaries. Is there anything else I can assist you with?
You use your own VPN number, and then you're really going to jail. Because you would be considered a terrorist using your own VPN number. So they're not even going to let you be secure in that way. What else is in the Bill 686?
Senate Bill 686, also known as the Freedom and Openness in the United States Act, has been met with controversy due to its potential impact on free speech and online censorship. The bill grants significant power to the federal government to control information and communications, making it similar in scope to the Patriot Act. By granting immunity from public oversight, the bill raises concerns about the potential for abuse and lack of accountability. Opponents of the bill have expressed worries about its effects on digital freedom and the ability of citizens to access accurate and unbiased information.
Would Bill 686 take away our freedom to speak?
No, Bill S. 686, a proposed legislation, does not take away people's freedom to speak. The bill aims to combat terrorism by creating a national strategy for preventing terrorist radicalization and recruitment within the United States. It does not limit citizens' rights or infringe on their freedom of speech.
Terrorism.
You don't mean foreign terrorists. You mean terrorists in your own country who go against what the government say and come together on platforms like this, and then you can label it as terrorism so you can send us to jail, that kind of terrorism?
The Restrict Act would allow the government to access all of the data on your video devices if it is a service that uses over 1 million people. This includes services like Ring doorbell / in-home security cameras and so much more.
Hashtag Kill Bill 686. We're not doing this again, you guys. We're not doing the Patriot Act 2.0. Didn't we learn anything from 9/11 and them using our fear to pass through Bill 486? We're not doing this again, you guys. We're not doing the Patriot Act 2.0. Didn't we learn anything from 9/11 and them using our fear to pass through Bill without our informed consent? Don't even get me started on that one. They're trying to use China, the Communist Party. Oh, we're going to protect them from their safety and their security by implementing the same thing the Communist Party does, which is take away the freedom of speech and monitor your shit and then invade your privacy through your doorbells and all that shit has to do with TikTok. We got to stop this. Kill Bill 686. I'm done.
So you like that, folks? You know, we need to ban TikTok. So that means we've got to monitor the signal coming from your smart doorbell. The government is incredible. Like, any excuse they can to get more tabs on people and more surveillance on people and control people's lives, they will do it. And, you know, TikTok is a very insecure app. Of course it is. It's a Chinese surveillance app. It's a spy app, essentially. There was a thing I think I showed you before I left Australia about the data that TikTok actually gathers when you make a post on TikTok. Yeah, you upload a photo or upload a video, upload anything to TikTok, and it goes through every single thing about you. It collects data on who you are, what your income is, where you work, who your parents are, what their income is, where they live, who your boss is, what his income is, where he lives. Like, so much stuff. It's ridiculous. There was a report that I posted, like, before I left Australia, which went through all this sort of stuff and shows you exactly how dangerous TikTok is. Does that mean it should be banned? Well, no, it means that they should just stop it producing so much data when they post things. I mean, it should just be for posting, but it isn't. It's a spy app. Even, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, US politicians were barred from having TikTok installed on their phones or anybody in their family. Even if you have children, if you're a politician in the United States, you have children, it's against the law for your children to have TikTok installed on their phone because, as I said, it also collects information about the person's parents, all sorts of stuff. So, of course, if your dad is a politician or your mum is a politician, it's going to be collecting all sorts of information on them and who their boss is and what their bank account is and all sorts of stuff. See, it isn't just you. It's ridiculous, the amount of information that it gathers. And, you know, this is just part of the whole social credit surveillance system. And the interesting thing is that while saying they want to ban TikTok, they're basically putting in all of the TikTok parameters, all the things they want to ban it for. They're attaching that to everything. Any company that has over a million clientele. Yeah, so, you know, a doorbell company. Have you sold over a million doorbells? Well, we need to monitor everything that's coming out of every one of those doorbells. Same for everything. And what successful company hasn't sold over a million products? When all of those products turn smart, then they got you. That's what they want to put in place, folks, under the guise of banning TikTok. Why do you think China put out all that stuff and put all that stuff on TikTok? Basically to show the world how it's done. Okay, here's the setup that we've got in place here. Check it out. Put it out there. Then you can ban it and put it in place with everything else. See, they all work together, folks. The entire government system is one organism. And they really want the Chinese social credit system to be in place everywhere. Really pushing for it in Australia as well. They're really, really pushing this digital ID. The whole concept that they want to keep everything in one place to make it easy and convenient and to keep it safe, they say. Put everything in one place to keep it safe. You know, what was that saying about eggs and baskets? It just boggles the mind, the stupidity of these people that they push on the public and try to say it's for intelligent reasons when it's absolutely stupid. You know, you wouldn't do this unless you wanted there to be a problem. And think about it, if they've got everybody's stuff in one place, well, that means they can shut you down completely with one button, one flick of the switch.
The federal government is pressing ahead with digital ID, national digital ID, which they say will be a one-stop shop for all your interactions with government systems. You know, all your data is just held in one place. So if you need to talk to Medicare or you need to talk to Centrelink or whatever the hell they're called these days, there's one system you will be able to use for everything. And it will also be expanded out to use with private businesses. So, for instance, you don't have to provide your license number or whatever it might be to a bank and all this sort of thing, right? It will all be kept in one place. Now, what could possibly go wrong when you keep all personal data about someone in one place where, of course, if you hack the system, you literally have access to everyone's data? And not only is it being held centrally, it's being held by the government. So why would outfits that, you know, are attached to the government, let's say the police or let's say councils that issue you fines, would they not have some interest in potentially getting hold of that data for their own purposes? Well, LNP Senator Gerard Rennick asked exactly this question of a panel of experts, and guess what they had to say?
So what you're saying is that under this legislation, police don't need a warrant to access?
That's correct.
Right, OK, well,
Yeah, so with regard to biometric data, there is requirement for a warrant, but it doesn't specify that that's for a serious crime. But also police can access all other kinds of personal data in the bill in general when there has a proceeding has been started. And I should add also that it's not just police that can have that access in terms of the general access to personal information. It includes enforcement bodies generally. So that includes bodies that can issue civil penalties.
Enforcement bodies, not just the police. Now, don't forget, remember back during COVID when you had to go and sign in with a QR code to go and have a coffee or a pint at the pub. And of course, when you had that pint at the pub, you had to sit down because if you stood up, you were definitely going to get COVID if you stood at the bar. And we were told that all this data that was being collected by the government, where you'd been, when you'd been, etc., there was no risk of this ever being used by anyone else for any nefarious purpose. But of course, we know that the coppers were applying to get a hold of this data, in WA in particular. They were using it for assault cases, you know, people getting knocked in the head outside of a nightclub on a Saturday night. And the first thing they do is run to the state government to ask for the COVID data because, of course, it tells them where everyone has been. Can we not see where this is going? Of course, like if you've got a parking fine, what we're talking about here is that the council could go and ask for all your personal information, all of it, and come knocking with the debt collector and take your car away or whatever the hell they're going to do. Like anyone from an enforcement agency. Incredible.
Yeah, we can all see where this is going. Do you really trust this government on legislation this big and this impacting to make sure it's rock solid? We're told when it comes to immigration, public safety is our number one concern, even as we see more and more stuff-ups in that regard. So would you really believe them when they say, no, this thing, digital ID, it'll be watertight, your privacy will be preserved? Why would anyone in their right mind take the government's word for that?
We need to take a machine gun to this bill. We do not need digital ID. We're doing fine right now. The only body that benefits from digital ID is the government. Track and trace. They will know your every move, more detail than they already do. It is nefarious purposes through and through. And nobody can tell us why exactly do we need this?
See, at the moment where things are sort of decentralised, you could, look at me. I've been banned so many places. I've been banned on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Spotify, Twitter, you name it, like so many places. And recently banned on Getter, banned on MeWe. But they've had to go through over the period of the last couple of years and go through and physically ban me from all of those places. Once it's all centralized, they won't have to ban me from those places. They can just flick one button and it will shut me down, ban me from everywhere. And as far as the digital world goes and the virtual world goes, I don't exist anymore. All my stuff will be gone. All my access to any of my stuff will be gone. Anything that's digital, anything that's online, access to it all will be gone. When your ID is online, your bank account's online, all your social media is online, people aren't really socializing that much anymore. When all this stuff is online, they can just flick a switch and suddenly you disappear. Then, of course, you become a person of interest because, if you go out in public, you'll have the police, they'll have their little facial recognition glasses on and they'll be able to get the little digital readout of who and what you are. And they'll just see, this guy's just been blacklisted everywhere. So obviously he's a problem. And obviously we can pick him up and do whatever we want with him and no one will know. His family might know because suddenly he won't come home anymore. But if they complain about it, well, we'll just switch them off as well. This is very dangerous, folks, what our governments are doing. And everything else they're doing, and they're working to get us completely dependent upon them, you see. That's what all this destruction of the food chain is all about. And now they're saying they just want to kill all the cattle. There's a politician in Ireland who's just put forth that they want to kill 200,000 cows in Ireland. Check this out.
The Irish government is putting forward a proposal to massacre 200,000 dairy cows because of climate change. All of this is simultaneously happening while the American agricultural industry is being directly attacked that the emissions from cows, both in the dairy and the meat industry, are destroying the environment. And also this week, the USDA gave the green light for the first ever lab-grown meat financed by people like Bill Gates. Let's just play my favorite game for a second, the tinfoil hat game. Isn't this all happening at the same time that those same billionaires are buying up millions of acres of farmland to wipe out any competition? And the literal best part about all of this is a study from UC Davis is showing that lab-grown meat could be 25 times worse for the environment than the meat industry. And thank God for the fact checkers on the internet letting us know this lab-grown meat definitely won't cause cancer, even though scientists have been raising the alarm for the last several years that pluripotent stem cells used to create lab-grown meat can in fact mess with tumor suppressor signaling. Who would stand to benefit from you needing cancer drugs? Oh yeah, the same people that are investing into lab-grown meat that also finance the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, so why do you think they're doing that, folks? She kind of nailed it, you know, to get you dependent upon the system. You're eating their lab-grown meat. You're using their pharmaceuticals. Lab-grown meat is much more pollutive than normal meat. Wind farms are far more pollutive than cows. Even electric cars are far more pollutive than gas-powered cars. I mean, cars that run on gasoline, sure, they let emissions up into the air, but, you know, we can deal with that stuff. There's actually a carbon shortage on Earth at the moment, and electric cars have been found to actually be 1,850 times more pollutive than a gas-powered vehicle, gasoline-powered vehicle. And yet they're doing this to save the environment, are they? It's ludicrous, folks. It's absolutely ludicrous what these people are trying to push on the world. People are pushing back, though. I mean, people do get it. Another guy, I think, in Ireland was saying that the ridiculous part about what the government's doing and attempting to save us from climate change, which, of course, is complete rubbish, is that they're banning farming. They're outlawing the growing of food. I mean, they're doing this before anything. They're allowing everything else to go ahead. Major industries and all sorts of stuff are allowed to pollute so much. But they're going for the farming industry, claiming this is one of the major polluters. And yet the problem, of course, is CO2, carbon dioxide. Well, what do plants eat? Carbon dioxide. So really, the farming industry offsets itself. Any carbon damage that it does, when there's no such thing, but okay, let's play their game for a minute. You know, any carbon damage, the carbon footprint of the farming industry, is offset by the fact that it's an actual farming industry. It's growing plants, and plants consume carbon dioxide. So basically, farming is pretty much carbon neutral. And this is the argument that the Irish farmers are putting forth and hoping the people will listen.
European farmers are frustrated. Green policy is cutting food production worldwide. It's an absolute disgrace. We're getting blamed on carbon issues in Ireland. We're being blamed as the biggest contributor of carbon, 37%. The emission figures for agriculture are only half the carbon cycle. And if you go back to when you went to school, you learned about photosynthesis, you learned about carbon is sequestered on farms. We sequester more than we emit, and we're getting blamed 100%. We're being forced to cut the cow herd. We have a derogation coming in addition to cut nitrogen use. We're being forced to cut dairy production and beef production in Ireland, while Dublin Airport is going to get a new licence for 42 million passengers instead of 32 million passengers a year. So they're allowed to increase their carbon, and no other sector of society has been asked to cut production of product. You go to any pharmaceutical company, Athlone here is full of pharmaceutical companies. None of those companies are being asked to cut product production. Nobody, except farmers. And we're actually the ones that are carbon neutral, and we're the ones, because we're the low-hanging fruit, we're the soft touch. But I tell you, we're not the soft touch anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff, folks, but the people are getting it. People are seeing that this is a scam. I mean, when you listen to what that tractor driver said, or that farmer said, in relation to farming actually being a carbon neutral industry, yeah, even if you want to buy into their shit, it shows just how full of shit they are. You know, for even people that believe the system's real, for people who believe climate change is real, for people who believe vaccines actually save you from something, you know, the COVID vaccine, which wasn't a vaccine, it was a lethal injection. You know, even these people are starting to see, hey, something's wrong here. The most brain-dead, brainwashed sheeple are now starting to see there's a problem, and that's a good thing. And just too many people can't see what the solution is. They're still waiting for someone to come along and give them the idea. What's the idea? What's the movement? What's the march? What's the form I can sign? What do I donate to? What can I do so that someone else can fix the problem and that I can get the newsletter to say that it's okay? Unfortunately, that's the mindset of most people. They don't see that they are the solution. You are the solution. If you're listening to this, you are part of the resistance and you are the solution. And as I've said so many times, the best thing you can do is to influence the people around you by being the best version of yourself that you possibly can. Be a joy to be around. Be someone who's informed, someone who's helpful, someone who's kind. Go out of your way to help your community. Just do stuff for people. Let them know what a great person you are. Be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. That will influence people more than anything. And then you build that strong community spirit. And then when the government comes along and says they want to do all this stuff, you just say no. And you can't push us because we're a strong community. And you guys work for us. And if you're going to push us, well, you can get out of the building. We'll put someone of integrity in there instead to run our infrastructure the way we would like it run. That's what government's for. But government have tricked the people into believing that they are their parents, that you've got to ask permission to everything. Without the government there to protect you, things would be terrible. Well, the government isn't protecting you. The government is breaking down the food chain. The government is working to starve most of the population and to get them completely enslaved to a government system. That's what all this stuff is about. That's what this whole climate agenda is all about. Remember, there was back in the 70s or the 80s, or perhaps even before then, there was some conference, and they were working out some way of controlling the world, and they said that the climate would be the best way to do it, because that way you can teach people that they are the problem, because it's their damage to the environment which is causing climate change, and so therefore government needs to limit their activity in pretty much every aspect of their lives in order to provide them with a safe environment. It's crazy, folks. And then they do all this shit to push it. The fires in Texas, like, this was all obviously done the same as the fires in Lahaina were done, the same as the fires in Chile were done. All done through directed energy weapons, the same as the fires in Australia were most likely done as well. In 2019, the fires in Paradise, California. I mean, we've seen all of these directed energy weapons in place and being used so many times because it supports their agenda, pushes their climate agenda. But the climate agenda is complete bullshit. As I said, there's actually a carbon shortage on Earth. New Zealand and Australia were talking about it just a couple of weeks ago. I think I had it on a recent report. They were talking about how there is actually a CO2 shortage and they need to do something about it. Meanwhile, they're doing everything they can to curtail CO2 and wipe CO2 out of existence. Carbon neutral, we want carbon neutral. You are the carbon that they want to neutralize, folks. This is all about control. Everything the government is doing is about control. And you are the solution. People think government is this all-powerful thing. It's not. It's just a group of people that we actually elect to manage infrastructure for us. And they're doing a god-awful job deliberately. That's something that people just don't realize. But like I said, there are protests. There's protests all over the place. The farmers in Spain, Belgium, right across Europe are absolutely going off. And as I've said before, it's good to see people standing in this type of solidarity, but I still believe the best form of protest is to simply get on with farming. Although, you've got to do something, I guess, like these protests that they're staging, just in order to let the community know what's really going on, because you need to rally that support from the community as well, which means you need to bring the information to their attention. Of course, you can't do it through social media because they'll ban you and block you. You can't do it through the media because the news reporters will never interview you or never let the word get out, because, you know, the news media is basically the unofficial mouthpiece for government these days. It doesn't keep government in check. It doesn't report the news. It just says what the government wants the people to say, because it wants to be able to control the narrative. And that's what the media is used for. So, you know, we can't get any truth from these guys. Occasionally you do get a little bit, which is kind of freaky. But you can't get any real truth from these guys. So that's why they need to stage these protests, I guess. But again, they need to be getting on with farming at the same time as they're doing this, because the whole concept is to break down the food chain altogether. That's what our government's like, folks. They love us so much and they care about us so much that they want to completely eliminate food production and get people eating insects, mealworms, maggots and lab-grown meat. Wonderful stuff. And again, all this stuff is far more pollutive than normal farming. I mean, normal farming isn't good, don't get me wrong. I mean, what they've done, well, normal farming actually is good, but what they call normal farming these days is not really normal farming. You know, you're monocropping and you're using fertilizers and destroying the soil and doing all sorts of bad stuff. So, you know, I don't support the farming industry in its current form. But again, the farmers do all this stuff because it's legislated that they've got to do it. It's like farmers that are jacking their cows up with mRNA now because it's legislated they have to do it, or they'll come and kill their herd. You know, it's terrorism, folks. It's racketeering and terrorism. Racketeering using terrorist tactics. That's what government does. That's how it operates. It's racketeering in its most purest form, folks, modern government. And, you know, we're really coming to a head now, folks. I mean, everything they've done, like the jab, the depopulation, the wars, the war in Ukraine, the war in Palestine, they're doing so much to depopulate the earth. And you're going to see a huge rise in vaccine damage or lethal injection damage in the next 12 months as well. There's even been a report that has said they're expecting a predicted 2 million deaths from cardiac issues in 2024-2025. Just for unknown reasons, folks, suddenly people are developing cardiac issues. Or what could have been the common factor with these people? Remember, we said it was going to take 2 to 5 years, or 3 to 5 years, for us to see the results of this injection they gave everyone. Well, we're going to see it over the next 12 to 18 months, I would say, folks. It's really getting serious, folks. It really is. Everything they can. They're still talking about drafting people and sending them to Ukraine to die in a war against the terrible Russian menace, which doesn't exist. They're really working to massively depopulate the earth as fast as they can, but in a way that people don't notice it happening. That's what they've done with the jab. That's what they're doing with the food production. That's what they're doing with these wars. It's crazy, folks. It's absolutely crazy what they're doing. And chemtrails and stuff that they're spraying in the sky as well, which is just absolutely out of control, folks. And there's no question that they're spraying. I mean, there's even videos where you can see them turning the spray on and off. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on here, folks, you know, and with the lethal injection that they've given people. And we need to identify. I mean, this is a way of changing things, folks. Here's one of the parts of the solution. You need to identify every politician or every news reporter, every doctor who ever said that this injection was safe and effective, because it wasn't safe and effective. You know, myocarditis is now a household word. We'd never heard of this before the jab. Most people had never heard of it. Sure, it existed, but most people didn't know it. Now it's a household word. Myocarditis, pericarditis. The list of side effects of the Pfizer vaccine, which was like 20 pages, 26 pages, 29 pages, something like that. Virtually all one sentence, just with commas after each ailment, that listed virtually every disease, every ailment, every possible thing that could go wrong with your body known to man, was listed as the side effects. But we're giving you a jab to keep you safe from something, but here's the possible side effects. Every disease ever known to man. You could get all of this simply from taking this jab. But you won't die from COVID. Of course you won't die from COVID, because there is no COVID. COVID never existed, and this injection was never a vaccine. Incredible, folks, absolutely incredible. And they want you to eat bugs, and they want you to go down this pathway. And there's so many better options than eating bugs, folks. You know, we could get rid of the politicians for a start, you know, and that is the solution. And as I've said, we don't need violent uprising. We simply need people to be the best version of themselves that they can be, and to stand up with their communities and call these people out as the liars and parasites that they are. I mean, with everything that's happened in the last 4 years, I mean, even the whole Epstein thing, we know all these people are compromised. And people are still waiting for Trump. It's incredible, absolutely incredible, folks. What people say to me all the time was, well, if Trump was one of the bad guys, why would the media keep vilifying him so much and attacking him so much? Well, it's because they want you to believe he's a good guy. That's why they do it. If they were really going to arrest Trump, they would have arrested him. They'll never arrest him. He's an ex-president. They're not going to arrest him. Look at what's going on in Palestine at the moment. One of the things that enabled this genocide of Gaza more than anything is the fact that Trump moved the US embassy to Jerusalem and totally empowered the Israelis by doing so. What are you saying? This is part of the plan? Oh, he was just doing it to trick them? You know, they've genocided most of Gaza, and they still claim it's self-defense and blah, blah, blah. It's not self-defense. It's absolute genocide. You don't do this to a country in self-defense. Now they're talking about invading Rafah, but here's where it all falls down, because they can't, really. I mean, they want to. They're saying that they will. But the problem is that they've said there's hostages still being held. If there are even any hostages, I would suggest that a lot of this was just propaganda. I mean, the numbers changed all the time. I think to begin with, it was 109 hostages. Then it was 118 hostages. Then it was 129 hostages. The last number that I heard was 134 hostages. Okay, well, if Israel has gone in and leveled the Gaza Strip in order to free the hostages, and in order, it's leveled all the homes in the Gaza Strip in order to destroy Hamas terror tunnels. And yet it's going through, we're seeing video footage where it's going through and showing us tunnels. So obviously bombing the buildings didn't destroy the tunnels. So there was no reason for you to bomb the buildings. And if you're going in there to rescue the hostages, but you're going to go in there and completely obliterate Rafah, which is where there are 1.5 million people sheltering, well, you're going to kill any hostages that were there. So you've kind of got a catch-22 situation here. If Israel goes in, it will be accused of killing its own hostages. And if the hostages don't come out, well, what was the whole war all about to begin with? All you did was go in and kill and displace an entire population, and you didn't achieve your objective. Well, what was the point of the whole thing? All you did was genocide all these people. Latest figures, 31, 32,000 people, and I would suggest it's a lot more than that, as I've said. And I've had some of the most ridiculous comments on my channel, people saying, I don't believe there's anybody dying. If there were 32,000 people dead or 30,000 people dead, where are the death certificates? Where are they putting the bodies? This is a war zone. They're putting bodies where they fall. They're just lying there and being rotting on the road. There was one guy saying he went to back to northern Gaza. He managed to get back there and he went to check his friends' homes, and the bodies were just left there rotting in the home.
فيديو من قلب غطاء خزقوم اصحى مانا تسمعني قوم انتبه للكلام اللي بدي احكيه قوم ركز انطفئ قوم هذا الكلام اللي بدي احكيه يوم القيامة حقف قدام ربنا وقدامكم اقول لربنا حكيت لكم اياه امبارح في حي الزيتون لقوا ناس اطفال عائلات باكملهم متحللين في بيوتهم هذا بيتي اماني انا واطفالي بدنا نكون قاعدين بامان لقوا الناس متحللة في بيوتها طفلة عمرها 11 سنة ما إلها ذنب في هذه الحرب طفلة 11 سنة عمرها متحللة تحت بيتها لقوها تحت بيتها الناس ماتت عند المساعدات وانت نايم بتاكل وبتشرب ونايم على أحلى مخدة وعلى أحلى حرام قوم انطفض وما ضلش فينا حيل يا جواسيس أنا بحكي من قلب قطاع غزة بحكي من خاطر محروق ومن قلب مكسور الناس بترن علي يتموا الأطفال الطفل بحكي لي بقولي نفسي أمي ترجع واحضنها لو خمس دقايق قوم انطفضوا مالكوا ساكتين مبسوطين اللي بصير فينا انتم مبسوطين فيه ما ضلش انا يا رجال انا عن جد من اخر السطر بحكي ايش اطفال في حي الزيتون لجوم متحللين؟ وين احنا؟ وين الضمير العربي والإنسانية؟ انت كمسهورة او مؤثرة او ناشط او صحفي، فرج على الفيديو تبع حس الشعور اللي فيها. تسألني انت بخير ولا مش بخير يا عمي؟ اهلي كلهم تحت الانقاض، اضلش فيا حيل. هذا النفس الاخير اللي بحكي فيه، يوم القيامة تلتقي القصوم بقول لربنا انك كنت تتفرج علي. شوف اني بحكي وانا بعيط وانا بسرق، ما عملتليش اشي، ما قدمتليش اشي. قال ايش؟ بدنا نساعدكم. يا عم رابط التبرع في الصفحة، روح اتبرع. طب في ناس بتموت، في ناس.
Yeah, it was a video that came out of an Israeli soldier letting his dog eat a dead Palestinian. You're asking for death certificates, and where are they putting all the bodies? Most of the people are buried under rubble. Most of the people that aren't buried under rubble are left rotting on the side of the road. The ones that they kidnap and tell you are Hamas, and they strip them naked and parade them around and say, 200 Hamas surrendered to us today. No, these are refugees that they've kidnapped from a refugee camp, and they're just parading them around saying, look, we're catching Hamas terrorists. No, then they kill these people, they harvest their organs, they put them in body bags and they bury them in mass graves. We know this is going on as well, leaving packages of food or bombs disguised as packages of food or tins of food around Gaza as well, shooting children, forcing the parents to go on without their children, killing parents in front of the children and shooting the children as well.
كيف حالك يا فيصل؟
الحمد لله.
انت تصوبت؟ من مين؟
من اليهود.
ايش بتقول لليهود؟
مش حلوين، انهم بيطخوا علينا.
ايش صار معك؟ انت عارف ايش اللي صار معك؟ ايش اللي صار معك؟
تصوبت ببطني، ماما وبابا استشهدوا.
انت لحالك؟
أنا وأخوي وعمي.
Yeah, a lot of really bad stuff going on there, folks. And people saying, well, yeah, it's Hamas's fault. They shouldn't have attacked on October the 7th. Have a listen to this guy. He pretty much nails it.
Of course, war is horrible. So why did the Palestinians initiate this war with their vicious attack on Israelis on October 7th?
Well, they didn't. They didn't. This war has been going on for 75 years. Israel initiated it in 1948 by ethnically cleansing 750,000 people. We must expel Arabs. We must expel Arabs and take their places. We must expel Arabs and take their places. And if we have to use force, not to dispossess the Arabs of the Negev and Transjordan, but to guarantee our own right to settle in those places, then we have force at our disposal. David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, said that in 1937. And that's what they proceeded to do. The people in Gaza, this is what you need to understand. The people in Gaza, over 80% of them are refugees. Many of them are from a place called Majdal Ascalon in what is now southern Israel, in a city called Ashkelon. And they were dragged from their homes and driven from their homes, placed in prison camps, barbed wire prison camps, and then dumped in trucks in 1950 into the Gaza Strip, where they would be permanently warehoused. And then Israel proceeded to move Arab, Jewish refugees and Russians into Ashkelon to prevent them from ever coming back, and pass laws to prevent Arabs, Palestinians from being able to return to their homes. 750,000 were ethnically cleansed. For 18 years, the remaining Palestinians, 100,000 were internally displaced inside Israel. The remaining were put under military rule. They were under military occupation until 1966. Then in 1967, Israel violently, in a war it initiated, occupies Gaza, occupies the West Bank, occupies the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights in East Jerusalem, and then invades Lebanon in 1982, attacking Palestinian refugees there, puts Gaza under siege in 2005. No one can get in or out without Israeli military permission. We must kill and kill all day, every day. That's according to Arnon Sofer, an Israeli government consultant who helped devise the siege of Gaza. For years, Israel would not allow certain chocolates and A2 paper into Gaza. And then they began these brutal military assaults, which they call mowing the lawn, Slaughtering a few people will leave Hamas intact, but keep them a lesson, teach them a lesson. And I talked to you about those assaults that took place on Gaza. So this didn't come out of a vacuum. You're not going to be able to hold people under siege, cut them off from the world, and then expect them to just play along. And that doesn't mean that I celebrate what happened on October 7th. It should have never had to happen. The reason it happened is because of the Israel lobby here, the genocide Democrats and the genocide Republicans who deny the Palestinians any right to have rights. And it's the right to have rights that defines you as a citizen. They're citizens of nothing. And now we see what Israel really thinks of them, really thinks of their children. Gaza has become a graveyard for children, according to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. So this didn't start on October 7th, and it's not going to end when there's a ceasefire.
Yeah, what can I say? He pretty much nails it. And that's the reality of the situation. But again, this has been the worst propaganda exercise ever for Israel, because they're not going to be rescuing these hostages. And the number keeps going up, 134 hostages. And that's the main thing they say, bring them home, bring them home, bring them home. The propaganda on Twitter is next level. In fact, some of the propaganda on Twitter, I think, has done a lot to actually shift opinion towards supporting the Palestinians. There's been people like, there's a guy, Elon Levy, who is the most prolific liar I have ever seen on social media. Apparently he was employed by the government as a spokesperson or something. He got sacked the other day because of some comments he made to David Cameron or some rubbish, you know. But he's not the spokesperson for Israel anymore. This guy's been saying all along, well, there's no limit to the amount of aid that can enter Gaza, and we are doing our best to minimize civilian casualties. And that's lying through his teeth. This guy's still been pushing the concept that there were beheaded babies and that they went in and raped and pillaged and burnt houses and stuff. When they didn't, all of the reports have come out and said, no, we were wrong about that. There's absolutely no evidence of beheaded babies, and yet this guy is still pushing it. And even, like, no evidence of beheaded babies, even the Israeli government's come out and said, we were wrong about that, sorry, that was disinformation. Even President Biden said that that was disinformation. But here's this Elon Levy guy, still been promoting that, like, as recently as a few days ago or a week ago, he was promoting that. So it's good to see that they've taken care of him and he's got sacked. But in many ways, it's a shame, because his gaslighting and the obvious lies that this guy was spreading, I think, was doing a lot to wake people up. Same as there's a guy, you might know him, Michael Rappaport. He's like a D-grade actor and failed comedian, really unfunny comedian. He has been just going hard, hell for leather, on social media and showing himself as a true sociopath, a true genocidal maniac, laughing and carrying on and just making a complete fool of himself. And a lot of people who I believe might have even been his fans have gone, wow, this is a side of this guy I never saw. And they've started to look into the Palestinian cause. And now they're supporting Palestine, realizing what's actually going on here. The Palestinians are not terrorists. The terrorists here are the Israelis. And a lot of people are seeing that now. So the propaganda machine of Israel has completely and utterly failed. In fact, it's had the opposite effect of what they intended it to do. It's causing people to shift over to the Palestinian side. And it's good to see a lot of people doing it, a lot of people speaking out about it. And yeah, Israel is still producing propaganda videos of Israeli terrorists in uniform, you know, Israeli soldiers running through empty blown up streets and shooting machine gun fire into empty buildings and empty rooms, pretending that it's battle footage. We haven't seen any battle footage. We haven't seen any bodies of dead Hamas. All we've seen are bodies of hundreds and hundreds of civilians, children, We've seen Israel running around through empty streets, bombed out streets, and shooting into empty buildings. We've seen them destroying buildings. We've seen them blowing up hospitals, blowing up universities. You look at the UN school now. I mean, this was once the UN school. It's just ridiculous, folks. I mean, I've been to that school. It certainly didn't look like that. I've been to Gaza University. I spoke there. It's horrible what's going on there, folks. But like I said, it's been the worst propaganda campaign that we've ever seen. And it's turned most of the world against the state of Israel. Tourism is down, trade is down, allies are falling apart, you know, removing their support for the state of Israel. I even seen Canada saying that we're not going to send Israel any more arms. And you've got a question, why would they be doing this? Why would Justin Trudeau be doing this? Well, it's because so many people are seeing this for what it is. Justin Trudeau is probably one of the most hated leaders in the Western world. He's got to throw some sort of a breadcrumb to the people of the country and make them think that he's a nice guy. Maybe they'll forget all the other stuff that he did, especially right on the precipice of the mass deaths we're about to see from the jabbed. So, you know, Macron is also speaking out against what's going on in Gaza. A lot of European leaders are speaking out against it, but it's still going ahead because the United States is supporting it. The United States, of course, is run almost completely by Jews. All the higher levels of the United States government is run by Jews. They're all dual citizens. I mean, we've been through this many times. That's why this is happening. But Israel has basically failed in its mission because it's not going to be able to bring home the hostages. If it manages to genocide all of Gaza and displace what people are left, and it didn't achieve its objectives, it will be seen as an abject failure in the face of the world. I mean, it's already pretty much seen as an abject failure due to its failure on October the 7th to prevent a Hamas attack. And of course, it was all staged. So they played their cards so badly, folks, really, really badly. We know the whole thing was staged. We know they allowed it to happen. If they didn't do it themselves, and they certainly allowed it to happen by causing all the people to stand down and moving the festival to where they moved it to and everything they did. You know, apparently, according to sources inside Palestine, when Hamas came over and started raiding the kibbutz, they didn't even know the festival was on. They didn't know until they got there. So, you know, this whole thing has been planned and staged, and it came out so quickly that it was 7 hours before they sent anybody there. Benjamin Netanyahu is pushing all he can to escalate the conflict and to keep people distracted from what's going on, because he is in so much trouble. They don't want him there. So many people in Israel are saying this guy is destroying our country through this war in Gaza, the way he's doing all this. It's just not the way to do things. But, you know, he's saying, well, there can't be an investigation yet because we've got a war going on and blah, blah, blah. And there'll be an investigation at the end of the war. Yeah, it's a scam, folks. And he wants to escalate it, and the world wants to escalate it. They want to create some sort of regional conflict. Didn't really work with Ukraine. Hasn't really worked with the Houthis. Hasn't really worked. They're not really getting away with what they want to do as far as war goes. But there's all sorts of other stuff going on, like this smart grid. You know, your doorbells are going to be spying on you. The TikTok ban, which isn't really about banning TikTok. I mean, TikTok was created, I would suspect, and put in place to get tabs on a lot of people, and also so the United States could ban it while applying the same technology to the entire smart system that they're setting up, with the goal of setting up a geofence area, like all suburbs will be geofenced. Once they've got you in one spot, what they want to do with Australia, they've got all your stuff in one area, so they can just flick one button, push one delete whatever, or one button, and you're blocked out of absolutely everything. I mean, it won't just be blocked out of the internet and blocked out of your bank account and blocked out of your communications. It'll also be blocked out of your car. You won't be able to open your house. You won't be able to do anything. Anything that is digital, you'll be locked out of. And when it's all digital, well, what do you do? You know, if you've got a voice-activated car, biometrically activated, or you know, retinal scan or whatever, which they will certainly put in place if they haven't already, you know, probably got thumbprints in place in some cars. They've got you used to pushing that button now instead of turning a key. This is also you get used to putting your thumb on the dashboard, because soon they'll be thumb scanning you to start your car. I'm sure there's cars, they probably do that already. Soon after that, it will be retinal scan as well. You know, just a thumb scan, well, someone could cut your thumb off and see your car. So we better have a retinal scan as well. And we'll just have a whole facial scan, and we'll have a complete biometric scan as soon as you get into your car. Pick up your whole body's biometric residence and make sure we know it's you. And same as your passengers and everybody that happens to get into your car. Oh shit, you've got someone blacklisted in your car. So we're going to have to blacklist you now as well. Your car won't start because Mary's sitting in the back, you know. This is the sort of stuff they can do. They'll be able to shut you down, shut down your finances, shut down your access to everything. Your electric car will stop working if you go outside your 15-minute geofenced zone. This is absolute control, folks. And again, what I've said so many times over the years is that what we see in Palestine and Gaza and the West Bank is a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. That's what they've done. And that system, and I've said for many years, if we don't deal with it, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. This is what geofencing will be. And look at what they've just done to exterminate these people while the world cheers it on. So they're kind of really testing the water here as well. If people are going to allow this, then all they have to do is geofence a certain area and say, well, this was a Lebanese zone, or this was a Palestinian zone, or this was a whatever zone, these certain ethnic group that we are now at war with, so we need to geofence them. And, you know, if people go in there and start slaughtering them, well, it's not going to be any of our business. Yeah, and then it will give them the ability to wipe out that group of people. I mean, like they did with Waco. All they've got to do is tell you that it's a terrorist cell, that it's a group of dissidents that are threatening your well-being by threatening your government. And, oh my God, what would you do without the government there to protect you? Yeah, people will allow this to happen. You can just feed them bullshit on the media. They'll believe anything that you tell them, folks. And the most difficult part is that people are just buying into the narrative. I mean, and you can see how easily they can be coerced into doing that. Look at the whole COVID narrative that happened over the last 4 or 5 years, which is still ongoing. There's still people lining up for their 8th or 10th booster because COVID hasn't gone away yet. It's incredible, folks. There was never any COVID. Of course it's gone away because it never existed. They're just filling you full of these death jabs, reprogramming people, changing their genetic structure. God knows what they're doing to people. I mean, so much stuff has come out. Yeah, like so much stuff has come out. Like they're altering us on every single level. And with the chemtrails and the breakdown of the food chain and the destruction of forests and the fires and the rape, pillage and plunder that's gone along around the world, I mean, it's easy to see that they're depopulating, and they seem to be terraforming the earth as well. Or at least getting rid of life. Like I said, saving us by destroying all food production. How is that saving anybody? They got us dependent upon food production, got us out of our tribal nature, you know, where we used to produce food in our own way. We used to produce food locally, vegetables. People always had vegetable gardens in their yards. And, you know, people, there'd be a local butcher who'd slaughter a cow for the village or whatever. You know, we had ways of doing things. Then we all got dependent upon supermarkets. And now they're taking that away and blaming us for all the damage that's been done to the earth while getting us completely enslaved to their system, like Bill Gates. You know, he's the one that's producing all this smart tech. He's the one that produced Windows to track and trace you. He's the one that was producing all these cell phones and doing all this sort of stuff. And now he is producing smart insects and synthetic insects and buying up farmland all over the world and producing synthetic meat and wants to feed you bugs. That's one of the reasons they're blowing up the farmland, folks. As the girl said, the government doesn't want any competition. They want people to be able to grow their own food. They just want people to be completely subservient to them, whatever these people end up being. As I said, I mean, God knows what they're doing to the human genome through all these jabs. I mean, we've looked at so much stuff. I mean, I was looking at transhumanism years ago and looking at what they've been doing with the jabs even since it started, like the Intrabody Nano Network, and really where they've gone. They've gone in leaps and bounds since we even heard of transhumanism like 15 years ago or whatever. You know, but now it's just, it's ridiculous. And they've done so much damage to people. There was even a report I saw the other day where there were leeches that were being fed vaccinated blood. And the leeches, of course, died.
ファイザーのワクチン2回打ったんで、この前。ですから、この前抗体のできてる僕の血液をちょっと分けてあげようと思います。
そうですね。吸い始めてから、もうかれこれ30分ぐらい経ったんですよね。
まあ、ぬるぬるはしてないですね。多分、サラサラしている感じですね。何もネットとかで調べてないから何分で離れるかわかんないんですけど、まだ吸いそうですよね、この子とか。もうパンパンっちゃパンパンですけど、まだいけそう。本当になかなかチャンスがないと思うんですよ。ずーっと待ってるような生き物なんで。その、ヤマビル見たことないよ。もっと走りますもんね。ちょっと待って、まだ吹いとこう、これさすがに。さすがにここまで来たら吹ける。どんどんどんどん、ちょっと吹いてる途中で、また、この一番でかいのが。まだ吸うか、お前。あ、まだ吸うのか、お前。一回離れた。
なんかもう、血を吐いたのか。ペットボトルの中の水が赤くなってますね。普通になんか大きさ的にみんな倍ぐらいになりましたね。見てください、これ。こいつ、こいつ、こいつ一番ぶっ飛ぶだと。こいつ。ねえ。というわけで、こんなクソ動画だったんですけど、ありがとうございました。
すげえ、すげえ、すげえ。今、最後観察したんだけどさ、お腹。なんか、腹筋割れてる感じしね。なんか、ほら、伝わりますかね、これ。デジカメの画質が悪い。ほら、めっちゃすごくないですか？なんか、お腹めっちゃかっこよくない？ヤマビルのお腹。右側がお尻で、左側が頭です。吸血する場所。すごくね、パンパンになるとこうやって模様が出てくるんですね。こんぐらいがちょうどいいかな。ねえ。うおー、縮むね。
吸血させてから3日経ったんですけど、なんか、卵ぐらい産むかなと思ったんですけど、3匹とも4匹ともみんな死んじゃったんですよね。ほら、このように、全然張り付かないんですよ。これ。ほら。なんか死んじゃったんですよね。
で、ほら、一回全部出してみたんですけど、このように血を吐いてね、みんなお亡くなりになっちゃったんですよね。伝わるかな、これ。ほら、ビロンビロンで、こっちがね、背中。
So there's no question of the damage all this stuff is causing. You know, they keep us distracted, they keep us going, they keep throwing shit at us, chemtrails, wars, whatever, blackouts, they're talking about a blackout soon.Which could well be, who knows. I'm actually going over to the EU to speak in Croatia. In a couple of weeks I'll be leaving. And it'd be interesting to see if there's a blackout that happens. I mean, I would really hate to get stuck in Europe. But I think I'm going to be okay. So, I mean, I don't know whether these sorts of things happen. We hear about this stuff all the time. We hear about there's going to be this and there's going to be that. And it never really seems to happen.A lot of the reason these things don't happen is because we expose it and say, well, they want to do this, and then they have to kind of roll that back. And they'll do it eventually. They always do. You know, we think, say it's going to happen on, you know, April 15th or whatever, and it won't happen for another 2 or 3 years, and it'll happen gradually. But that's the way they do it. I think we've prevented a lot of stuff from happening. I think we've prevented a lot of false flags simply by exposing the fact that these things are imminent.Which then the government, of course, can't do it because they'd prove us to be right. And they really don't like that sort of stuff. They tend to eliminate you when that happens. The way Bill Cooper said that he was expecting to be some sort of a big attack on the United States involving Osama bin Laden. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, 9/11 happened. And then a few weeks later, Bill Cooper was dead. So that's what happens, folks. I mean, we can prevent these things from happening by making people aware of it. But...They tend to do them anyway. And we're heading for a really, really crazy, crazy time, folks, over the next 12 months. I mean, if 2 million people actually do die from the jab over the next couple of years, or even over the next year as they're predicting, then, yeah, even that is going to be pretty crazy. If there is some sort of a blackout, it's going to be pretty crazy.And, you know, like I said, they're trying to keep us distracted with all these things as well. Blackouts. Kate Middleton. I can't believe people are asking me about Kate Middleton. I mean, there are people being genocided in Palestine. There's all of these people dying from the jab. There's this whole smart grid coming in place to control every single aspect of our lives. I'm seeing Palestinian people being fed to dogs by Israelis while the world cheers them on and calls the Palestinians terrorists.And people are asking me about Kate Middleton. I don't give a flying fuck about Kate Middleton, folks. I don't give a flying rodent's left butt cheek about Kate Middleton. Now, Kate Middleton is an ornament and a broodmare for the royal family. And I'll probably kill her the way they did Diana. It wouldn't surprise me. But it isn't that I care about her. People are arguing about whether Macron's woman is a man. Macron's wife is a man.It's an interesting thing. He's like in his 40s or 50s or something. She's 70. It's a weird thing, folks. And she looks like a man. and she acts like a man, walks like a man, talks like a man. But who knows, folks, who knows? But I don't really care. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, how many of them are what they tell us they are anyway? None of it would surprise me, folks. I mean, look at the Prime Minister of Canada is Fidel Castro's son. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Everything's crazy. Michelle Obama's very likely a man. I mean, it's crazy. So who cares if Macron's wife is a man? It's just par for the course. It's what they seem to do. There are more important things to concern yourself with. There's so much stuff going on. And everybody is looking for the solution, looking for someone else to come along and fix it, not realizing that they are the solution. We are all the solution, folks. Anarchy is the solution. Self-governance. Why do you think you need rulers? Why do you think there are people there that have the right to tell you what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot say? If you become the best version of yourself possible and you lead by example in your local community, you will change the world. Refuse to comply with anything which causes you to step outside your moral compass, folks. That's how you change the world. You know, it gets frustrating, it really does. People say, oh, you never provide the solutions, and what is the solution? And they're looking at it in the mirror every morning when they get up, but they just don't believe in themselves. It's crazy. Really crazy, folks. But anyway, I think that's about all I got to say. Ants crawling on me. Yeah, that's about all I got to say, folks. Now, but it's a big attempt to dehumanize the world, dehumanize people. That's a lot of what they've done with Palestine, is they've dehumanized the Palestinians. So people think it's okay to slaughter them and genocide them. They tried it with general society during the whole COVID scandemic. They started dehumanizing people who would wear masks. And, you know, kind of a test just to see how people would react to it. You know, mass formation. People reacted quite favorably according to the government directive. They started to look at people who didn't comply, people who didn't wear masks, and people who didn't take the jab. They started to look on them as less human, less deserving of rights, less deserving of respect. They started to see themselves as something superior to people who didn't take the death jab, people who didn't put this little diaper on their face, which is so, so bad for you. Now, microplastics, and like, there's so many things wrong with these masks, folks. It's incredible. But the point is that the people who were complying with the government narrative suddenly felt that they were a good, upstanding citizen, and that anybody who wasn't complying with the same narrative they were complying with was a lesser person. Now, these little dweebs that have never got anywhere in life, living mundane little jobs and just doing mundane things and mundane pleasures and going out to the government-designated enjoyment zones when they're allowed to, suddenly felt like they were superior to people who thought freely. You know, these people were seen as rebellious and a danger to society because you're thinking freely, you're questioning the government. How dare you question the government? This is the sort of stuff that they went through, folks, and the sort of feelings that they got. So they did this test. A lot of people complied. All the people who didn't comply were dehumanized by the people who did comply. You know, they tested a little bit further with what's going on in Palestine. Well, you know, test the other side of it as well by what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, they're completely dehumanizing the Russians, of course, but they're really humanizing, like over-humanizing the people of Ukraine. So they kind of twist your emotions and get you to dehumanize those people and totally humanize those people and just think the way the media wants you to think. Think the way the government wants you to think. And meanwhile, get all these death jabs and get all this stuff inside you. So if you don't die, you're going to be transformed into something transhuman and smart, part of the intrabody nano network, your body itself and your mind itself hooked up to the internet, whether you know it or not. They know it. And they got the Cray computer. I've gone through it so many times, how they can sample your DNA and intercept the frequency before it comes to your body, change the antenna in your body by giving you an mRNA jab. I mean, you can see where all this is going, folks. But you know, now they've done all this sort of stuff, you can see what the goal is with everything that they're doing, folks. And I've often said that. I mean, if you know what the end goal is, which is complete control of everything, every aspect of every living thing, not just control of you financially and control of your movements, control of your mind, control of every single aspect, every single thing about what it means to be human. That's what they want to control. And that's what they're putting in place with all of this. When you know that's the goal, then you can see all of the little increments along the way, what they're doing. And when you put it all together, I mean, this whole TikTok ban. Now your doorbell can listen to you. Anything smart can listen to you if the company has sold over 10,000 products or a million products. Your toaster can listen to you, your TV can listen to you, your doorbell can listen to you, your light switch can listen to you. Anything that is smart can listen to you. And all smart means is that the device is hooked up to AI and all the devices talk to each other. They track and trace everything you do. They listen to everything that you say. Even when I first came over to Mexico, 2 years ago, I was pointing out that there was a guy in Australia who was arrested because his refrigerator overheard him saying something. And the government viewed that as illegal. It would appear this guy was about to break the law. He hadn't, but he was about to because he'd mentioned it over breakfast. He was about to go out and commit some crime, whatever designates a crime, according to the Australian government. Dear, wonderful people who care about us so much. But anyway, the police went and arrested this guy. This is pre-crime because his fridge was listening to them over breakfast. And it's very inspiring, isn't it, folks? You know, your fridge can not only listen to you, but can report you to the police if there were certain keywords used. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful stuff, folks. So put all that in place with all your ID being in one spot because it's convenient and it's going to keep you safe. Geofenced areas, the dehumanization of everything that they've done through this whole Palestine conflict. And as I said, they're playing both sides of the emotions using Ukraine as well. I mean, for people who can't see this, I mean, I honestly don't know what's wrong with people who can't see what's really going on here. I mean, we're really being set up, folks. And I said years ago, we're being set up. As soon as I put out that film, The Big Picture, in 2008, I said that the whole shift towards, you know, truckitarianism basically is what we're doing. We're all living off food trucks. But the whole codependency that they've set up, the way they've moved everybody into cities, the way they've got everybody enslaved to this economic model, and the way they've suddenly shifted the importance of things, so that now it's all about balancing the books, and humans are the most expendable thing within the economic system. And yet the economic system was apparently created to serve humans, to act. And so we could do commerce and we could live our lives in a more efficient manner. Then suddenly it all became about the economic system. And humans are expendable in that system. Of course, you can go back and look and see who runs the economic system, but if you point that out, you might be accused of being anti-Semitic, so we don't want to go there. But you can see where all this is going, folks, and what it's all about. And bear in mind, the people that are doing this, as was shown on that Jeff Renzer video, the people that are doing this were kicked out of 102 countries 1,030 times because they've attempted this so many times in the past, which is why they're stealing Palestine and why they are doing everything that they're doing and playing the victim all the way down the line. But of course you can't say that because that's anti-Semitic to point that fact out to people. So hold on to your hats, folks. I mean, if people don't choose to step into their own power, if people are still going to follow this system, vote in the next politician that they believe will save them. And imagine if they do vote Trump back in again. I mean, we'll put Trump back in again. Trump's kept the world distracted for 8 years now. 8 years. The activists haven't done anything. Meanwhile, he got them all to march down Pennsylvania Avenue on January 6th. Put themselves on facial recognition. The people have gone through and been arrested for the most ridiculous things. They're doing years in jail. No one's pardoning them. All of the main activists, anybody who showed any initiative on the day, is being arrested. People who didn't do anything, they just marched in and they all walked between the ropes, and it was basically like a guided tour of the government building. They're all being arrested and put in jail. Trump said he'd show up on that day, but But he never did. He went down to Mar-a-Lago. There's been all these threats to arrest him and all this sort of stuff. I'll never do that. He'll never be arrested. People are still being arrested for January 6th, though. They got to basically paint the Republican Party as a terror party that supports terrorism, supports insurrection, claiming that what happened on January 6th was the worst thing that's happened to America since Pearl Harbor, which was absolutely ludicrous to even think that. But that's the way the media likes to portray things, and that's the way they are portraying it. You know, in the face of this, we've got all this whole Epstein thing, and it's been revealed that all these politicians in positions of power are all compromised. Trump has played a perfect role in that. He's kept people distracted for 8 years. If he manages to get voted in again and he gets a double term, that will be 16 years that people have listened to this guy and waited for him to save the world. He's pretending he's in there draining the swamp. Trump didn't drain the swamp. He simply renamed it to government protected wetlands. That's all he did. He didn't arrest Hillary Clinton, which was his main campaign slogan. He didn't do anything that he said he'd do. It's crazy. And people still think this guy's going to come and save them. There is no political remedy to this, folks. The political system is completely corrupted. It's racketeering. Trump is a full-blown Zionist president. As I pointed out on a recent show, Ivanka, when she married Jared Kushner, Jared Kushner, who is now saying Gaza will make very, very valuable real estate, beachfront real estate, is potentially worth a lot of money. You can see he wants to get his little gritty, little grubby little paws in there and start auctioning off Palestinian homes and Palestinian land as beachfront properties as quickly as he can. But when Ivanka married Jared Kushner, as I pointed out, she didn't do the ceremony to become a Jew, which means she was already a Jew, which means Trump's first wife was a Jew. Trump is fully part of this system, folks. By his own words, he supports Israel more than any other president. He is the most Israeli-supporting president that we've ever seen. Trump was the one who pushed the death jab. He's the father of the vaccine, still pushing the death jab. He is the one who moved the embassy to Jerusalem, which empowered the Israeli people into what they're doing now in this genocide of Gaza. And you think this guy's going to save you? You think this guy's worth voting in because he's going to save the world? It's crazy, folks. The world can only be saved by us because we are the ones who hold all the keys. There are billions of us, and if we simply say no, we become the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be and say no to these parasites. Stop believing government is your ruler. These are people that are supposed to manage infrastructure in a responsible way for us. Stop believing all the bullshit the media is spreading, the climate narrative, all these things. Government scream fear all the time. Fear, 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 fear. Everything is wrong. Oh my God, you need to be worried about everything. And you need us to protect you. That's all government does. You don't only need us to protect you from other governments, because we're all trying to work together now. All of our governments, yeah, we're all trying to work together and become one thing because it's good for the people. And we need to do this to protect you from climate change. So they're basically revealing that it's all one system. They've been working together all along. They're trying to come together now. No, they've always worked together. But they're doing it in order to protect you from climate change, which is completely and utterly non-existent. And meanwhile, they go around, they depopulate as much as they can. They start as many fires as they can. They manipulate the weather. They start floods. They do everything they can to make you scared of the climate. And then they get you scared of Russia and scared of the Palestinian terrorists and scared of COVID and scared of toxins in your food. Now they're saying that beautiful people are less likely to get COVID. High cheekbones and things. You're less likely to get COVID if you're a beautiful person. It's unbelievable. Getting people to chop off their penises and chop off their breasts and change their gender, thinking they can actually change their gender when they can't. Like, it's absolutely insane. Getting people in fear of everything, folks, so that you will believe you need government to protect you. And the more they lose control, the more fear they push into the minds of the public in order to maintain that control. And it's so obvious to see. Now, really, when you've got the right type of eyes and you look at the world through the right type of eyes, you can see what I see, which is a massive opportunity for freedom because the system is laid so bare. That's what the apocalypse is. It's the great unveiling, the great revealing. And whoever is running this, I mean, the Jews have certainly got a hand in some heavy stuff, but is there something above that? Because it would appear the earth is being terraformed. I mean, maybe they're just doing it as a temporary thing to wipe people out, because the earth will recover. Whatever they do to it, it will recover. It's a self-correcting, self-balancing system, as once said by George Carlin.
It's a self-correcting system. The air and the water will recover, the earth will be renewed, and if it's true that plastic is not degradable, well, the planet will simply incorporate plastic into a new paradigm, the earth plus plastic. The earth doesn't share our prejudice towards plastic. Plastic came out of the earth. The earth probably sees plastic as just another one of its children. Could be the only reason the earth allowed us to be spawned from it in the first place. It wanted plastic for itself. Didn't know how to make it. Needed us. Could be the answer to our age-old philosophical question, why are we here? Plastic.
Yeah, well said. And what they're doing is they're working to depopulate. Whether, as I said, whether this is going to be permanent is another thing. Whether the earth is literally being terraformed is another question, but it is certainly being depopulated. And the only thing that is standing against us and fixing this is our belief in authority, our belief that these people have a right to dictate what we can and cannot do, and people's refusal to question them, people's belief that the system must be there, people's belief that they can vote in the next politician to come and save them. Not going to happen, folks. Not going to happen. And the reality is that we could save ourselves in a single day if we simply had that epiphany and realized that we actually have value. We don't actually have to do what we're told. And I know I sound like a broken record when I say this because I've been saying it for so many years, but it's literally the truth. It really is. We hold all the cards, folks. This place is really coming alive, the Secret Garden. It's a beautiful place. Oh yeah, watch out for fakes as well, folks. There's more fakes. There's actually a fake Twitter account. It goes by the name of Max Egan or the Crow House, I'm not sure. I think it's the Crow House. And the user is Egan_Max. It's not my account, folks. If this person sends you a message or wants you to buy crypto or anything like that, it's not my account. Same on Telegram, there's a lot of fake accounts on Telegram, a lot of fake people all over the place pretending they're me, wanting to sell you crypto. As I've said many times, I will never send you a personal message unless you're a personal friend of mine, and I will never try to get you to invest in anything, okay? Not crypto, not anything. I'm not the person to be discussing crypto with, folks. I mean, talk to Jeff Berwick or talk to some of the people that, you know, deal with those things. I have very limited knowledge of crypto and very limited knowledge of finances in general. So I am never going to be trying to give you financial advice or asking you to invest in anything. Just be aware of that. If someone sends you an instant message and pretends they're me, just that for a start, it's not me. So yeah, and double so if they try to get you to invest in anything, then you know that it's definitely not me. So just flag and block the account, let people know that it's an imposter account, report them to the admin of whatever server you're on, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of them, folks. But yeah, as I said, I think I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report, folks. Same thank yous I always give out to everyone. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. I've had a lot of computer problems, folks, and I've been pretty much out of the loop for the last 7 or 8 days. So I apologize to everybody who might be awaiting answers for emails or whatever. It's been a very difficult time. I'm leaving in a couple of weeks, so I don't know how much you're going to hear from me during that period while I'm away. We'll just see what happens. I'll try to keep things coming out. And thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. It's very needed, folks, and thank you very, very much for helping keep this message going. And of course, thank you to all the people who are on the front line, who are taking the message on board and actually putting it into practice in their lives, because that is what's going to change things. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. Always a pleasure to have your company. I'll definitely bring you something, a couple more, before I go overseas. And I'll look forward to speaking to you then, folks. Please take very good care until we speak next. In Lakesh.